Good morning, Vine Church. Awesome. Outstanding. Well, look, if you do not know who I am, my name is Pastor Donovan. I'm a newly appointed pastor here at Vine Church. And guess what? I am so excited to be here with you all. I'm so excited to serve here in this ministry and just to be present so that we may fellowship with each other, so that we may deepen our relationship with one another, so that we all may grow in the love of God in Christ. Aren't you excited about it? All right. So if you are worshiping with the worshiping with us for the first time, or even if you're returning, I pray that you received a bulletin when you first walked in. If you received a paper like this, that is fantastic. Not only that, but I also pray that you felt the love of God when you came in this place. And I feel that your life is inspired today, even through our current worship. Here's what we're going to do. I would love if you took an opportunity and go ahead and tear that piece of paper off. It's a connection card. It's the way that we would like to reach out to you and connect with you. We love to be in fellowship with you so that we can grow our relationship with one another. And this is one of the ways that we do so. You can start off by putting your name on it, your email address. Any good contact information is good for us to have so that we may be in touch with you. This card, this connection card, also has a few pieces of information on it, like prayer requests. Our leadership team, we are so passionate about you. We love you so much, and we want to love on you and pray with and pray for you. So we pray that you may make some requests known and put in the basket once service is over, and we'd be glad to lift you up in prayer throughout the week. Also, it is an opportunity for you to Vine's newsletter. We send out a weekly newsletter letting everybody know what we're doing throughout the week and how we're growing and gracefully with one another. And we want you to be a part of that, and we want you to be up to date. And so if you would go ahead and indicate on there if you would like to receive a newsletter from us, we'd glad to be in relationship with you that way. Also, we have just grazed, we haven't even grazed 2019 yet. I mean, we just entered into February, which is still a wonderful time, just left January. And it's a great time for new things in our lives, including our new small groups for this semester. Aren't you excited about it? New opportunities to grow, new opportunities to experience Christ, and we're so excited to share in this moment. And so if you're interested in some of the small groups that we have here, it's a great time for you to go ahead and connect by checking that part off if you'd love to know more about our small groups. Also, I'm so excited to get to know each and every one of you in the way that God would allow us to. And one of those ways is coming up soon. Is going to be a pizza with the pastor. Pastries with the pastor. How many of y'all like pastries? I know I do. Some pastries out there. Absolutely. And so we're having pastries with the pastor next week at 10:45 at our Graham Road campus. But there's also another opportunity for us to fellowship with one another. We're having pizza with the pastor. So look forward to that too. I know that you like, I love pizza also. So that's another opportunity on February 17th. So I'm looking forward to these wonderful opportunities to connect with you. And so you can all indicate that on here and put that in the basket. And we'd love to just be in touch with you this week. Excited about it? All right, fantastic. All right, well, Vine Church, this is one of my favorite parts of being a pastor. It's the time where we get to grow with one another by unpacking God's word and seeing how God's word might inspire us for the week or for the day, or that might evoke something different for us in our lives. Wouldn't you agree? The time where we get to share and fellowship and read, what is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to be? Or what is God calling me to change, to do, be, or change? And so we're so excited to share God's word, and it's my favorite part. Before we do that, I just want to share some things with you. I know that we'll have those opportunities to get to know one another, but I just want to share, starting off, some things with you that I think are just pretty exciting as we're getting to know one another. Is that okay? Fantastic. So one of the things that I absolutely just want you to know about me as we're growing with one another is that I balance things really well. I would like to say that I'm a pretty well-balanced person. Now, I can look on some of your faces and say, I know he has to balance, you know, hospital visits and reading through the Bible, since we're reading through the Bible for 2019 and all these other pastoral duties. But let me reassure you that I'm not talking about that type of balance. I'm talking about the type of balance that requires you to sleep in a bed with your wife and one-year-old that turns into so many different shapes while she's asleep, okay? And so I'm telling you, I get beat up daily, and all of my sweet dreams tend to be beautiful nightmares at some point of the night. And so that's just one of the things. One of the other things that I want to share about myself is I have mastered, so my wife and my family and I, that's my wife right there. Hey, I love you. We moved from Washington, D.C. here in Virginia, because Virginians are for lovers. You know, if you want to tell some, Virginians are for lovers. So if you want to tell people how to grow in Christ, they said Christians shall be known by their love. And since Virginia is for lovers, just tell people to be like Virginians, okay? They'll master it. And so I love Virginia, but one of the things that I mastered right before we moved to Virginia was the traffic circles in D.C., how many of you all have driven around the traffic circles? Okay, a good majority of us. So we know how early on, or at least for the first time you've entered into the traffic circle, how hard it is to go in and out of the traffic circle. But I am so glad that by the time it was time for us to move, I mastered the traffic circles. So excited about that. I think it's so impressive. It is so funny. I took some time to just sit and to watch the people. And if you have time to do this, just do it. I promise this will be the best comedy that you'll get ever. Just watch people ease up to the traffic circle and panic right before they enter in. Now, I'm praying that no one collides or has an accident, but it's just so funny to see the comedy of the panic on people's faces as they're entering and exiting those traffic circles. And I'm so thankful to God that I mastered them. One of the other things I love to share also is that how many of you all grocery shop? Yeah, that's pretty much all of us. We need food to sustain ourselves. So me and my wife, we came up with this pact, right? We said, hey, Donovan, if you bring the bags in, I promise I'll do all the grocery shopping. I won't lug you to the grocery store and have you walk up and down the aisles with me and Aubrey if you just promise to bring the bags in. And how many of y'all think that that's a pretty good deal, right? I think this is fair enough. Until I discovered that I have to make multiple trips to the trunk to get all the bags out of the car. So one of the things that you should know about your new pastor is that I have mastered the art of bringing all of the groceries in from the trunk when you enter into the house. And so it's not that you tell your wife or your spouse, hey, you need to shop less because I have to carry all these bags in, but it's that you just need a lot of arm space, okay? So I think that God, the next time, if there are more humans that will come in the future, I think that God will make humans with extenders, with arm extenders, because he know what a hard time we have carrying groceries in the house. So we thank God for that. And so while I share those things, we'll have so many different opportunities to share with one another all of who we are and how God has blessed us in our lives. And so I just wanted to share those things, but I also wanted to have an opportunity to share with you the things that helped to that helped in the formation of why I'm on this stage today. It's a process in Christ, a process that took quite a while and quite hard work, that helps us to discover who we are in God through Christ and what God called us to do, be, or change in this world. I want to share with you a few formative things that were helpful for me. So number one, one of the other things that was that you should know that was formative is that I did not grow up in a household that practiced faith, or at least so I thought that we didn't have faith. My mom and dad, I grew up in a house and they were worshiping the God of chance. They worshiped the God of coincidence. They played the lottery each and every day and had even spent so much money in the lottery. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, so they played the Michigan lottery. And so I had spent so much money on the lottery, it almost caused our family to go into a great deal of debt. And so I watched my mom and dad each and every day purchase lottery tickets and to rely on God and coincidence and happenstance in our lives to make provisions for us and to even worship and to say that the world happens however it happens and that there is no one thing or no person or nothing that is present with us that helps to sustain the world. On top of that, my dad eventually practiced Islam, and following and wanted to please my dad, I did the same. I was trying to discover who I was. I was trying to discover what God, who God was calling me to be in myself. And so I was trying to search for what does life mean? And where is God? And who is God? These answers that we tend to ponder in our hearts all the time. And even if you're a non-believer, those thoughts that sometimes comes up in our mind is that allows us to think more deeply about who God is. So I went on a search and practiced Islam. And one of the things that I loved about Islam and following Allah, which was our God then, was that I knew that there was a checklist that I could check off, that I could state the statement of faith, the Shahada, or that I could make my pilgrimage to Mecca, that I could give alms to the poor and to the needy, that I could pray 5 times a day. And that was all that I had to do. And that if I fasted during Ramadan, then I was pleasing to God, that I was fulfilling the will of God for my life. It wasn't until college where I actually had an opportunity to experience Christ in a real way. And in turning my life over to Christ, I realized, as Christ revealed to me, that it wasn't about a checklist of things that I had to accomplish in order to please God. Whereas in Islam, when I practiced, it was about the outward checklist that I was comfortable with, that I was happy with. But God showed and proved to me that there is something more inward that mattered most. That there was something not outward that we could do to please God, but rather it was something inward that changed our entire lives. In a moment, I want to share a scripture with you that helped to highlight some moments in my life and that gave me some great details and structures as far as how to serve God. And how God is calling us to be more faithful and to take the next faithful step to who God is calling us to be. The moment where I realized that God was not calling me to do something specific, but rather God was calling me to be something specific. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we love you. We thank you for all of who you are. We thank you, God, for being present with us in this moment. We thank you for your calling that is upon each and every one of us. We thank you that you call us from different places in life and call us to serve you. We're thankful that you reveal yourself to us daily. Now, God, in this moment, as we prepare to share in a feast of your word together, God, I pray that you go into the space in the human heart that Pastor Donovan was never designed to go. Go, God, in the human heart of these, your people, God, and reach deep down in a place where I was never able to. God, so that you may get the glory and so that our lives may be inspired this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in being called by God, one of the things that I learned, the scripture that inspired me the most is the scripture that I want to present to you today that we'll go over, and it's from 2 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 2:15 through 25, and we'll walk through it together. There's also a piece of paper in your bulletin, and if you want to go ahead and fill in those blanks as we go along, I encourage and inspire you to do so that you could take it with you. But there are a couple things that inspired my life as far as how God revealed God's self to me and what God was calling me, not to do, but to be, this inward sense of being, how God was calling me to be. I, for a very long time, had committed myself to international missions. I served as a missionary in Africa for a couple years, and then I served in Mobile, Alabama, doing humanitarian work with inner city youth. I had even in high school, I had done a campaign that went regional. It's called Hugs, Not Bullets. And it was a moment in time where we were encouraging people during the new year to not fire guns off into the air or these bullets into the air, but rather exchange that with a hug. Because this was a time in Detroit where people would go out on New Year's Day and they would be so excited. And yeah, we love experiencing new things, especially the new year, but they would fire these guns off into the air and these rounds of bullets, and then the bullets would land wherever they may. Sometimes if that meant that it would be inside another person or would take the life of innocent individuals. So I was motivated all throughout my missions work and even through those campaigns, through the social justice work, to go and incite for people to recognize harm that is done to people all around the world in many different ways. So when I came to Christ, all of this had made sense. My calling to life had made sense, that God wanted to take my sense of advocacy and my heart for people through humanitarian work and missions, and to tie that in with his purpose, but first showing me this thing. Let's read the scripture. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, "Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval." It says, "Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed of who, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." It says to avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like a cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. Hymenaeus and Philetus, in this particular scripture text, Paul, this apostle, this pioneer for Christ, who had a Damascus experience where he was not a Christian, but then was blinded and then was opened up to recognize who Christ was. He experienced this inward regeneration, or this inward experience and transformation and recognition of who God was in his life, and then had gone on to be one of the most influential Christian leaders that we know and that we read about in the Bible. He's writing to his understudy, or even his co-laborer in the faith, or people may say his son in the faith, Timothy. And he's writing to him from prison again, because I'm not sure if you know, Paul ends up in prison many times. So that means we got to be careful about people who go to prison or go to jail. They may have something really great to say. And so he's writing to Timothy, and he's encouraging him because Hymenaeus and Philetus are two Gnostics. They are very heady people. They're very philosophized people. They've studied in the schools of philosophy. They have all this beautiful head knowledge about who God is and who Christ is, and yet they have no inward change, no inward insight to who the person of Christ really is and the purpose of why he came to this world. And so he's encouraging him and writing him and telling him, hey, I want you to be encouraged, but there are people with contending ideas and philosophies and thoughts that are trying to distort your image or your knowledge of Christ and the impact that Christ has in your life. And so in this verse 15 through 17, God is calling, Timothy was calling, Paul was calling Timothy to be faithful. And so as with us, and as I was inspired, I realized that God was calling us to be faithful, that God is currently calling us to be faithful to him, committing ourselves to God daily by being before God and recognizing that God is the source of everything in our lives. He's the total purpose for everything that exists. It is understanding who we are and why we are called. Understanding who we are in location to God and what purpose we may serve in the world. Faithfulness. The next part of scripture, 18 through 22, and if you'd like to follow along with me, it says, they have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. Kind of almost like the Ten Commandments that was carved into stone in this kind of permanent way. And it says, the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made for gold and silver. And this is done on special occasions. And then it says, and cheap ones are made for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. In this scripture, I was inspired to learn that God and in inspiration of this was calling for us to be available. That number one, God was calling us to be faithful, and now God is calling me to be available. Available. The same word that derives from this understanding of being open or accessible to what God is wanting to impart to us. being open in a posture that allows us to both give to God and receive from God. The wonderful thing that I learned about being available to God was that being available to God truly represented and really allowed me to recognize that being open was the seed of transformation. That being open, I was giving myself over to God to transform me into something completely different. And so that even in our daily lives, that in being available, that we too may be transformed. This is the place where our heart is warmed. It is the place where our minds are changed. And this is the part where our lives become transformed through availability. Now, being available to God means that it's going to cost you something. You want to know what that cost is? It's going to cost you some convenience. It means that being available to God means that you have to be comfortable with being inconvenienced, with your plans being totally interrupted, and that if we are faithful to God and receive all that He has for us and remain open and available for all that God is wanting to impart to us, that then it turns into this place where we allow His Holy Spirit to lead us in our everyday life. You ever woke up with somebody on your mind and you said, I know I got to reach out to that person because I know they were probably struggling with this. I know that I have to read this verse. I know that I have to go and run this errand. I know that I have to, there's a person that I'm thinking about and they're on my mind. And then you don't reach out to them. And then you figure out, then you learn something different about them. And then you say, man, I wish I would have. The moment where we begin to recognize the move of the Holy Spirit or God in our lives to be able to make us aware of what God is calling us to do each and every day. Something that only comes through availability. The other thing that I learned after God has taught me to be faithful and I recognize that God is calling us to be faithful and then available. The next thing through this text, and this is 22, it says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Now, youthful lust in this context, if you go and read, there's a reference point that it makes to talking about in the Greek what it means to have youthful lust. And so what it's implying by youthful lust is not that, hey, you're a young child, but it says that you might have a childlike mind. A mind that is not able to reason with the moral decisions that are before us. It makes a scripture or it makes a point to say that youthful lust is a way of being a hypocrite, a way of presenting yourself in hypocrisy, saying that there is a moral code available and that I have a moral and ethical standard, but yet my behaviors prove something different, that they represent a different part of how I live, these youthful lusts. But then it says, instead, to pursue righteous living, to pursue righteousness, and to pursue faithfulness and love and peace. It says, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. It says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights when you drive and enter into the traffic circles with people. It says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. That person also must be able to teach, and that person also must be patient with difficult people. Patient with difficult people. The last part of this scripture warms my heart, and it's verse 25, and it says, gently instruct those who oppose truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn truth. You see, when we're faithful to God and allow God to show us who we are in faithfulness, and then when we're available to God, where we're in the posture of giving and receiving, and allowing God to transform us. Then comes the third tenet, which is we have to be teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. That in being teachable, we are making an agreement to be available. available for God to use us and to teach us all that is needed to inspire the lives of others. There are people who are struggling in a broken world, who are trying to manage very blindly through a world with so much chaos and noise. But yet we're those who are called to lead them. We're those who are called to inspire their lives. But that while they're trying to manage through the darkness and the chaos of life, that we shouldn't get upset with them. And that we shouldn't bruise them because of the blindness. But rather, we love them in the blindness, for we were once blind also. I was once blind to the goodness of God, to all that God had for my life, until I realized that God was calling me to be faithful, to be available, and to be teachable. How many of you all are teachers? Or your job, or business, or anything. Come on, you can raise your hand, it's okay. Teachers, yay, I love teachers. My wife is a teacher, she's an educator. Fourth grade, how about that? But if your job has a teaching component to it, or your business, or whatever it is that you do, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, or if you're in the military, or no matter what your lifestyle is, there's always a teaching component to it. And the thing that I love about the mode of being teachable is that teachability is not about pace, but rather being teachable, or when you're in the moment of being teachable, it's about purpose. Teachability is not about pace, but it's about purpose. Or I can't just hurry up and learn math just for the sake of doing it, but rather I have to have a purpose for learning math. That in all things, that is not my pace or how fast it takes me to get there, but rather, why am I going there? Not how fast I develop and eat up all the fruit of Christ, the peace, the patience, and the love, and the one that we like to forsake, oftentimes long suffering. But it's rather taking the time to be faithful to God, being available to God, and being teachable to God, so that we may become the fruit of Christ, and so that others may pick from our tree and taste and see that the Lord is good. Almost so much that we don't fight with them from taking from our tree, but we offer them the fruit of Christ, and we offer to them the love of God. The last thing, and it's in your bulletin, I'd love if you read along with me. It's a poem by Mary Ann Williamson. I remember there was a time where I just compacted my life into this small place of understanding that I just didn't, it didn't matter what I knew, didn't matter what I believed, that I didn't mind playing small in the world because I really didn't matter as long as I just did these outward things and no longer, you know, was concerned about the inward things that God was, that really mattered most to God. And so this poem really motivates me. And it motivated me then and even now to know who I am in Christ and to fully understand that I am called to be faithful, available, and teachable. The poem says this: our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, to be gorgeous, to be talented, to be fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. When you show up with the person of Christ, they don't feel insecure around you, but yet they feel Christ's love. We're all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not in just some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give people permission to do the same. Listen to this. As we're liberated from our own fear, our own ideas, our own agendas and routines. Our presence automatically liberates others. Friends, as we remain faithful and available and teachable to God and obey God's call upon our lives to be something, not just to do something just yet, but to be something, when we show up, it will automatically liberate others. What a blessing. That when we show up, we take the person of Christ with us, and it breaks the chains off of people who are suffering. It lifts their mindset, and it takes their burdens off or away. And what a task that God has blessed us with, that through being available and faithful and teachable, that we have an opportunity to participate in that work, being the hands and feet of Christ. Today, may you be encouraged to be faithful, available, and teachable, and to experience the fruit of Christ. Let us pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ways that you inspire us through poetry, God, through spiritual insight, God, and even through your word. May we always be aware of the work that you're doing in our lives. And may you help us through your grace to be faithful, available, and teachable. For we know that your grace is sufficient.